Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Boog Shambi going to join us in a second. The Navy Federal Credit Union has a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. And I wanted to make sure I tell you about my friends at First5California.com. Guys, being a first-time parent is tough, but I learned that talking, reading, singing does indeed change everything. Being a first-time parent, as I mentioned, isn't easy, and neither is a second-time parent, for that matter. But with my daughter Aria, my son Mateo, we've done a great job, thanks to First 5 California, of learning that talking, reading, singing did change everything. And we talked to them, and we read to them, and we sang to them at a very young age, and we got them the best chance to succeed. My daughter Aria is in kindergarten. She's doing really well. She knows how to read books by herself, basically, at this point, because we taught her, because of First 5 California. And you'll learn so many things thanks to our friends at First 5 California that will help your children succeed. And that's really the goal, right, at being a parent, is to help them succeed the best way we can. And First 5 California is all about that. We're a living, breathing testament to it. We're doing it again with my son, who's 19 months old right now. So do it. Talking, reading, singing does indeed change everything. Go to First5California.com to learn more. That's First, the number 5, California.com to learn more. So we'll talk baseball with Boog Shambi here in a second. We want him to do crazy things on this KBO broadcast, since they're all going to be doing it from home anyway. But we've got some shout outs on restaurants. Today is Cinco de Mayo. So hit us up at 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Rigo in Montebello. What's up, Rigo?
Hi there, Donald. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
How are you? Just calling you guys to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Stay home. Celebrate with us as well. Please come check us out. La Bufadora Baja Grill in the city of Montebello. Come give us a try. We have Mitch's to go for $5, along with Taco Tuesday, catering for your whole family, $21.99 only. Come check us out, please, Dono.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Sean and Oxnard, before we get to Boog.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Hey, how am I going to follow that up? Dang. Laura, Greg, George, thanks for doing what you do, man, keeping us all going.
Appreciate it.
Hey, shout out to Taco de Efe and Oxnard. It's fire. C Street. Street tacos all day long. Bomb. Go get them.
All right, bro. Appreciate it. Here's an update on our poll right now. You can vote at Sedano, S-E-D-A-N-O. What is the craziest of these three things? Draymond Green saying he and Steph would destroy Shaq in the pick and roll in his prime. Mike Tyson, possible comeback at 53 years old. Or the Dolphins' plan of people going to a football game with 15,000 fans socially distant. While in a 65,000 seat stadium. So you can join us on there. You can vote at Sedano on the poll. Our friend Boog Shambi joins us now here. He's the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio. He'll be calling KBO games, and I want him to do crazy things. And speaking of crazy, Boog, I didn't know if you heard the poll I just put up. Which of these three things seems crazier to you? The Miami Dolphins plan of people socially distant at a football game, allowing only 15,000 fans in a 65,000-seat stadium. Draymond Green saying that he and Steph Curry would destroy prime Shaquille O'Neal in the pick and roll. Or Mike Tyson possibly thinking about a comeback at 53 years old.
The first one's eliminated because it's Florida. Florida's ridiculous.
Right.
So there's that. You're from Florida. It's Florida's ridiculous. There's nothing surprising about that.
Yes.
I mean, on the surface, no, the last one is funny, but like I saw the video and I was frightened and of seeing Mike Tyson, so I would really like to see that, by the way. I'd really like to see him fight some of these guys. I think that'd be kind of fun. It's one of the last two, I guess. I'm not sure. I think destroying Shaq on the pick and roll feels a little strong.
Yeah.
A little aggressive.
I mean, that's Draymond. He is aggressive. I don't think there's any question about that. But yeah, destroying in his prime seems also ridiculous. But
I really like Draymond Green, though. Draymond Green's such a good, interesting talker. He on the court, he's a little extra for me.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it's kind of like, okay. But as a talker, I mean, I just think he's interesting, smart, thoughtful. I really like him.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm also in agreement on the Tyson thing. As crazy as I think it is, and I think it's crazy, because just to put into context, when George Foreman fought Evander Holyfield, and we thought that was crazy, he was 42, not 53. So, but I'd see it. Like, if he said, if Nevada, the state of Nevada or the state of California sanctioned the bout, I would watch it. Like, there's no question.
So, like, I'm an old person. I saw the video, okay? I saw the video of Tyson, and the first thing that popped into my head was, I don't know why, this just this memory of watching an NCAA tournament game where Big Dog Robinson dunked on Greg Ostertag, and Bill Raftery was calling the game, and Bill Raftery just blurts out, "Oh, it'll make you want to ask for your mommy." Like, while I was watching the Mike Tyson video.
It really
how,
was.
That's impressive. How I felt.
It was impressive.
It'll make you want to ask for your mommy.
Yeah, yeah. He looked good. And he's training with, like, legit trainers for, like, an hour and 90 minutes a day. We're going to have Ariel Helwani on at 11:30 because he talked to the trainer.
Like him.
Yeah. Oh, I love him. Yeah, he's great, too.
I'm not even interested in the sport, and I like listening to him. I'm not, like, not in any active way interested in the sport, like mildly interested.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of Ariel Helwani. I think he's really good.
Yeah, me too. I'm a fan. I believe he is quickly vaulted into the one of the top 3 to 5 nicest people at ESPN. Now, it's always going to be hard to knock down Kirkchin. And Reale, who I feel like also are near the top, but Reale likes to be prickly occasionally, like
well,
in a fun
way. Who's on the list?
I mean, Kirkchin is the is number one of all. Like, there's no question,
absolutely
right?
Not.
No. What?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean? Why not?
All right, hang on one second.
All right, hold on. Are you saying that Tim Kirkchin, nice guy, is a fraud?
It's not a fraud. It's not a fraud, but it's It gets a little aggressive. Where I got to find something really. He sent me something the other day that where he just I sent something. He sends me something. It says, "You look great. I'm so proud of you. Thanks, Tim. I really appreciate it." And then he sends back, "But you still suck at everything."
So you're saying he's sneaky mean?
You don't know this about him. Hang on. I'm going through some of my other texts. Let's see. Will there be baseball, please? Happy Boog Day. Okay. And then here's another one. And then he's like, "I mentioned you on my video today. Where is it, Tim? On .com, Twitter, and TV. And then on my birthday, he sends me a text that says, "There is life after the big 5-0. Today is day one. Make them all count, but no matter what happens, remember this, you suck." That's right. That's from Tim Kirkchin.
I had no idea.
You stink at this game, Sedano.
Wow.
You're terrible at this game. And I'll give you, look, you're missing someone that, like, LaFonso Ellis is like right there immediately sprinting away from the pack. Like, that's the first thing I'll tell you. Like, I used to say to Hubert Davis, because he didn't know LaFonso, and I would say, "He makes you look like a jerk." And Hubert Davis is the nicest guy going. But LaFonso Ellis, like, yeah. So I'm exposing Tim Kirkchin for the fraud that he is.
Wow. I am going to tweet this out. Oh, no, Boog Shambi telling... Oh, no, Boog Shambi telling us at Kirkchin ESPN is sneaky mean. That's like telling me there is no Santa Claus when I was 7 years old.
That's right. I am so uncomfortable with that. I love it.
I just tweeted it out. That's it. It's over. It's in the ether now. It is in the atmosphere.
Can I say this, though? And I want to make this point clear. I love that man. It doesn't. I don't dislike him at the sneaky, it's not even really mean. It's just, he's, you know, like in baseball, like the humor is cutting and can be nasty. And like baseball in clubhouse, you're around people that are funny and they cut. Like, it's kind of nasty. So, like,
yeah.
Tim has some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You have literally told me the Easter Bunny doesn't exist, and I'm like six again.
Sorry.
That's what you did to me.
You know, like, look, it's early May. We don't have sports. I'm breaking news. It should be on the crawl.
Yes.
It should be on the crawl.
Let's do that.
Breaking news. Boob Shambi. Tim Kirch's sneaky jerk. Right? I mean, that should be on the crawl.
There's no question. That's exactly what we're doing. We are now going to go sneaky mean Tim Kirchin. That is going to be his new nickname on this show when he comes on.
I
can't believe
I love him. I love him.
I do too. I do too. He was so nice. I ran into him. I was in Chicago. I'm just going to give you a fun story about why he's so nice. I was in Chicago when the Cubs were playing the World Series, okay? And I was actually there to watch a Miami-Notre Dame game they were playing in South Bend. So because I couldn't get tickets to the World Series because they were $1 bazillion, and I just wasn't interested in spending that kind of money. But I was staying at the same hotel he was at, and my buddy is a baseball dork, like one of my childhood friends. And he's like, oh, my God, there's Tim Kirchin. And I'm like, really?
Right.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, do you want to meet him? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So I asked Tim, who was there with his daughter, and he tells his daughter, yeah, give me a minute, and like talks to my buddy about baseball for 10 minutes. And it just was like, that's so nice. Like, he is such a nice man. But now you've ruined it for me, Shambi. Like, you do everything.
Oh, my. Wow. I don't know that that's. I feel like Levitard ruins everything. I don't ruin everything.
I mean, if we're letting everyone behind the curtain here, Levitard takes a lot of grief for being a jerk. Like, people think he's a jerk.
Yeah.
You're way more of a jerk than he is. And I love you both.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I'll own that. I'll own that. Levitard and Shambi, Levitard's nicer.
Right. Yeah, but no one would believe that because you know how to play the room. You can work a room, Shambi.
That is correct. Yes. That's right. Nobody works a room like me.
all right, before we get to the KBO, have you seen this Bill Shaken article in the LA Times today?
Was it about which one? Is it the one
Bachelor
about baseball?
Yeah, The Bachelor, the creator of The Bachelor, wanting to add conjugal visits to the equation, that you should bring the wives in the stands. And if a team wins, they're allowed to see their wives as long as they get tested and whatnot. But if you go on an 8-game losing streak, you're going cold.
Right. I started to read it last night, and then I got bored and stopped reading it. That's what happened.
It is pretty ridiculous. But, hey, listen. There are those crazy wives out there who love to tell all their, you know, all the dirt. So I don't know how comfortable baseball players would be. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think you have a pretty good idea how comfortable the baseball players would be, actually.
So what are you going to do on this KBO broadcast? You're going to do this from home because I saw Ravitch and Eduardo Perez doing this from home. It's you and Jess Mendoza over the weekend starting Friday. I need you to do something.
I got Eduardo Friday, and then I'll have some Kyle. I'll have all three of them. I'll have Eduardo, Kyle, and Jess.
Okay, cool.
That's who I'll be working with.
Okay, so they're all going to be on ESPN.
Figure out about wearing something. I don't, like, we're supposed to dress professionally. I will. I'm going to put Passan on blast. Passan's on it at like the
a
third
suit.
Inning.
A suit.
3 a.m. in a suit.
It's what is he doing?
Come on, dude.
Yeah. 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 He I'll give him this. He did loosen the tie a little bit. It wasn't like completely up.
But I did ask my boss if I could go on Amazon and look for like a double XL polar bear onesie, and he wasn't really in on that. So I don't know where. I really want to come. If I had like an ascot and a smoking jacket and a pipe, I would definitely, and like a monocle, I'd come on with that. But I don't know what I'm gonna come with. I really don't.
I think you need to do something. I think. Look, you and I were texting about this. Start with like a mustache and can like just shave it in like the third inning.
My problem is I grow the crappiest beard. It would be so good if I started the broadcast in a full beard, and then third inning for our on camera, I had a mustache, and then fifth inning come on, and I'm clean shaven.
Yes. That's
that
what I need.
Amazing.
I mean, listen, it's like 2 or 3 in the morning on the East Coast, maybe later, depending on when. When are these games starting on the East Coast for you?
So we'll have a good time with it, but I do have a little It is a little challenging. My first game Friday is at 5:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
Then this is East Coast time.
Yeah.
My game Saturday is at 4 in the morning, and then my game Sunday is at 1 in the morning.
So there is a good chance I can watch you on Sunday, because at 2 or 1 in the morning, with two little kids in the house getting up at like 6:30, like there's no chance I'm watching that. The 1 a.m. at 10 o'clock, I'm in. I'm there for you on Sunday, buddy.
Okay.
But that's when you need to do it. Sunday, I feel like Sunday going into Monday, after the last dance, it's Boog Shambi and his beard into the mustache, into cleanly shaven. Like, every three innings, I need a change up there.
How's that little monster of yours doing?
Dude,
I feel like that kid's going to end up being, like, an offensive lineman, like 6'6", and he's a moose. I just love him.
Yeah, he is a moose. That is a good way to describe him. He is also, I don't know if you know this, but my parents are both the runt of their litter, okay? They are, my aunts and uncles are all well over 6 feet tall. I got the terrible end of the gene pool here with my parents,
really?
As much as I love them. Yeah, yeah, all over 6 feet tall, easily. My aunt is like 6'2", okay? And my dad was like 5'6", 5'5". Like, it was ridiculous.
Wow.
Like, I was like, how did this happen? You know, but
yeah.
So he's got genetics to go there. And my wife's family, my father-in-law is well over 6 feet. My brother-in-law, one of them is well over 6 feet. Like, he's got the genetics. Even my wife, she's pretty tall for a woman. She's like 5'9", 5'10". So it's like he's got the genetics. So I'm hopeful that he is, gets a full ride somewhere. So, you know, I can save on that 529 plan. And, I'll take the 10%, penalty and just, figure that out. But, that way daddy and mommy can, buy a condo in San Diego or something while he's in college.
I like it. I like where your head's at.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a monster. He eats everything. Like, my daughter, who is the opposite. She is tall and lean and she eats, but it doesn't go anywhere. And he eats everything. Like, there is not a thing. The only thing I've put in front of this child that he won't eat is a caper. We were having, like, some sort of Italian dish. My wife made capers. He spit it out. It was the only thing.
I mean, when he was, like, 10 months old, he would out-eat his sister.
Yeah. Yeah. Eat her food, too. If she looked the other way, he'd snatch it.
God bless that kid.
God bless. It's insane. Yo, so what are we doing here? Are we like biosphering? Like, what are we doing here with baseball?
I don't know. I think they're very determined to play. I think most everybody feels as though you're going to see baseball, mid July-ish is what I think that I will. So, like, that's the feeling and the optimism. I will tell you, like, I'm in New York and they flattened it, but it's not, like, they haven't bent it in a, so where the rest of the country goes, does testing capability get, that's what they want to do, but we've got to make some type of progress somewhere. Like, it's amazing how little they know about this thing. I mean, they still don't know whether you can get it again. Like, I had shingles for 3 weeks, and there are a lot of, like, dermatologists out there that are saying that there are rashes and signs, like, and that, so I'm wondering if I might have had coronavirus that activated shingles or something along those lines. But it seems like there's just so much uncertainty, and are we really going to get to a place where, like, the backup second baseman for the Diamondbacks is getting 5 tests a week when he's asymptomatic and not everyone in the country can get a test? I don't know, man. Again, it feels like we're charging towards the middle of July as a start time. Why we assume that progress will be made, I'm not quite so sure, because at least so far we haven't really made any progress other than staying home, wearing masks and gloves, washing our hands, and social distancing. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no there's no real science progress or productivity testing progress in any market way. I know, like,
I know in L.A. that you guys have availability to more testing. That is not the case everywhere.
Yeah, L.A. is the one major American city where anyone can get tested, whether they're symptomatic or not. It's the only place of the major American cities that's happening. So, yeah, I'm with you. Look, I've read or seen enough of these health experts that say the quote-unquote bare minimum magic number on testing is 500,000 a day administered, and I think that that's the thing. And you're right. Look, there is a real morality issue and a political issue here when it comes to these leagues, because they I understand them not wanting to put their toe in the water if the rest of the country and the frontline folks in the medical community aren't getting what they need, right? Like, I think that it makes no sense. It's not worth the backlash. So I think that if I were the commissioners, and I'm sure they've had these conversations with the White House and everyone involved and the CDC, is that, hey, I know everyone wants us to get back some slice of normalcy, and I know that everyone wants us to have a distraction of sorts that we can all kind of wrap our head around. But for that to happen, you guys can't just let us go out there and take all these bullets. Like, you got to be able to help us. And the way you help that is by helping the general public.
Yeah. And I'll also tell you this, that look, it's better than nothing. I get it. But sports with no fans will be weird and get I think people will be surprised at how they won't love it quite as much. You know, like, if you've ever been to like a B game on a backfield in spring training, man, oh baby, like it's an energy suck a little bit. So I get it, but better than nothing for sure. I'm just letting you know the reality of it. Yeah. I don't know that everyone gets it. They're going to plop down in front of the TV and it starts and it's like, wow, there's not a lot of energy. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Because even the lightly attended spring training games have some audience there, right? Like there is at least some atmosphere.
Right.
A couple more things. What do you make about, and Boog Shambi joining us here on the Sedano Show. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. I got to get the reads in, Boog. Hold on. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com and tune into the ESPN Daily podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters with our friend Mina Kimes, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. All right. So what did you make of like the stance of Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout, where I'm not leaving my family, I'm not doing this bubble thing for 4 months? Like, would baseball go on without those guys if it came down to it?
So here's what I would say. I don't think it would. I think there'd be, you know, there's a problem when you have, because they're not alone, you know? And then, but I do think that the part that gets lost in that spot is, if you really wanted to biodome it, right? The problem there is, okay, where are they staying? Okay, who cleans their house? Or who cleans the hotel room? Okay, well, what about those people? Did they get to go back home? Where it gets complicated in that spot is, if everybody's staying at a hotel and everybody's quarantined, I mean, the first thing is, you'd have no chance keeping, even if their families were there, you are not quarantining 28-year-old people. You're just not. Like, they're going to leave wherever they're supposed to be, in my opinion. But the other part of it is, okay, the person cleaning the hotel room, are we really going to pay them $9 an hour and keep them away from their families for 4 months? Because that doesn't seem very fair. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's on the margins, on the edges, where how far out do you go to close off this bubble? And then what are we willing to do to take care of the most vulnerable? That's where the problem is, in my opinion. It's for those people. It's for the room service people or whatever. How are you... Who gets to interact with their communities and who doesn't? And what are we doing to take care of those people?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That there needs to be a bigger picture plan here, which is why, look, for all the heat, I guess, and heat is relative, right? Adam Silver, people are saying that he's, you know, he's kind of twiddling his thumbs a little bit, that there's not enough information coming out. I'd rather him take his time and figure
Who's
out
saying that I, like that. That's what's funny. I live in the baseball world.
Right.
My perception of Adam Silver is Adam Silver is smart, is
and measured,
who's patient,
yeah. Yeah.
And does a really good job. And to be frank with you, he's the one, like, before any of the sports were to get back, I would be like, hey, go check in with Adam Silver and see what he thinks.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, everyone has their detractors, right? People are hearing baseball and they're hearing plans and this, that. And there's just, you know, the stuff in the NBA only trickles out, right? And I think that that's by design, right, though. You know what I mean? Like, that he doesn't want stuff to
well,
trickle out.
Well, they don't
out.
Know anything.
Correct.
That's
and he's,
the thing.
He
like,
said
you
that.
Twiddle your thumbs if you don't right. really know anything.
Right. Right. And he actually said when he talked to Ernie Johnson a couple weeks ago on the NBA's Twitter account, and he did that whole back and forth Q&A with him, he said, look, I know less now than I maybe I knew a couple weeks ago, to be honest with you.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, we got to kind of and look, the opening of facilities, you know, in small doses, that makes sense. And that's happening on Friday in some facilities. But even some teams are like, I don't know if we want to do that. Now, the Lakers and Clippers, we're in a different situation here in California. The governor just said yesterday that, hey, you know, we can start opening a few things up and we could do curbside with like florists and clothing stores and things like that. And that's phase two. You know, we can start to slowly but surely evolve there. But not every state or city is in that same timeline. And that becomes, I think, the biggest challenge is that you're trying to hit a moving target.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, that's it. It's that's the thing that's difficult is trying to you have different places in different situations. I also think, you know, again, there's, I think that one of the things that these commissioners are scared about is all these places that open up, you're not going to know what the net effect is of them opening up
right.
for a few weeks. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
like, we're not really going to know whether Georgia opening up the way it has was a smart idea probably for at least another little bit. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
and then if they find out it was a really bad idea, then you kind of can't go forward with any of the other thoughts. So
yeah.
I just don't, I'm not conservative by nature, but in this space I am because it's like, there's so many things that you just don't know about it, and it seems, and they seem confused about, you know, now in New York you have some younger people that seem to be dealing with something akin to it, so that, yeah, there's no question, it's confusing.
Boog Sean, the voice of Sunday Night Baseball, and of course, he will be doing KBO games. He will start off with a full beard. He will then get to a mustache in the third inning. And then by the sixth inning, he will be cleanly shaven. Make sure you watch that. Hopefully he'll do it Sunday so we can all watch here on the West Coast. And we can enjoy it at 10 o'clock Pacific. He has also revealed to us Tim Kirchen is sneaky mean. And he has ruined most of our days as we all love Tim Kirchen. Great job, Bill.
All right, how about this? I'll tell you this right now. If you go and make me a t-shirt. I'd prefer it to be navy blue or like a forest green. And if it says in a nice font, Tim Kirchen is sneaky mean, I will wear that on a broadcast under a blazer. It's got to be a nice soft cotton t-shirt with
okay.
a nice,
I'll
know,
work on it.
Comfortable in a double X. I'll wear that on the air for you.
Okay. I'm working on it. It's done. I'm making this happen. I'm calling people. People in the audience who I'm sure will help me find the right person to get the right amount of cotton, you know, so you can feel it's like your thread count on your bed or whatever. We'll make it feel good for you.
I love it. I love
all right.
it.
I all right, brother.
You, buddy. Stay
I miss,
safe, all right, my
I
man.
Miss you, too. You, too. Stay safe. Love you, okay? See ya. There he is, Boog Sciambi. All right, coming up next, Ariel Helwani. Is Mike Tyson really going to come back at 53 years old? Well, Ariel Helwani is talking to his trainers about a legit possibility of him coming back. Ariel Helwani in 4.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Ariel Helwani will join us here in just a second. He's the best in the business at covering MMA. He's got some stuff on Mike Tyson on this comeback we've been talking about. But attention, SSI recipients. Listen, if you didn't file a tax return last year and have children under 17, you got to act now, all right? I'm trying to get you some money. Get the $500 economic impact payment per child. If you don't act by May 5th, which is today, Cinco de Mayo, you must wait until next year to get those payments. Go to irs.gov and enter your information in the non-filer tool by today, May 5th. That's irs.gov. This message produced by the Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense. So Boog Shambi, thanks to him for joining us there. Thanks to Mina Kimes for joining us earlier. Boog Shambi revealing that Tim Kirkjian is sneaky mean. And I think that bolsters your cause, Ariel Helwani. We've talked about how you could be, you already vaulted yourself into the conversation of nicest person at ESPN. And I said that Tim Kirkjian was the one seed. Boog Shambi saying that Tim Kirkjian sends him mean texts, that it's all a facade. So I was stunned. It was like Santa Claus being revealed as a fraud to me when I was 7 years old. I am stunned by this, but it vaults you potentially into a top seed in this particular bracket if we were doing a bracket.
Oh my gosh, wow, this is incredible stuff. I mean, look, we are so starved for sports right now that we're doing brackets on the nicest people at ESPN. Imagine if I come out with some big controversy and all the skeletons in my closet come out. You all feel very dumb about anointing me as such. But hey, I'll take it. I'll take all the accolades. Can I just say that song that you played going into this segment?
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal song. That song really put me in a good mood. What is that song called?
Laura? Can you help him out there real quick?
Addictiva by Daddy Yankee.
Daddy Yankee, yeah.
So it was great. I mean, I'm always in such a good mood when I come on your show, but that was a good song. Kudos to Laura.
Yes, Laura always keeps us in a good mood. She understands the music keeps us going, and she is great at that and many other things. So we appreciate you shouting her out there, Ariel. Real quick, before we get into some of this stuff that I want to talk to you about, we have a poll up this morning. I'm a little stunned by the results of the poll thus far, but there's still plenty of time. Which of these is crazier to you? The Miami Dolphins' plan of trying to get people into a football game, socially distant, 15,000 fans in a 65,000-seat stadium, which obviously includes having to deal with concessions, the bathroom, all that stuff. Draymond Green saying he and Steph Curry would destroy prime 2000 Shaq in the pick and roll, or one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, Mike Tyson possibly coming back to boxing at 53 years old.
Oh, man, that is a really tough question. They're all kind of crazy in their own right. Honestly, I kind of feel like the Draymond Green one is the craziest one, because I don't think that that's the case. And I don't know what's going on with Draymond and Charles Oakley haven't had a great quarantine. You know, they're both taking shots at, look, no one wants to hear this type of rhetoric right now. Like, Oakley was my guy, and I see him taking shots at Ewing in the midst of The Last Dance. I don't want to hear this, and I don't want to hear the whole Draymond versus Charles Barkley thing. That is a ridiculous argument. And so this one is not quite as ridiculous, but it's certainly up there as well. The 15,000 and the 65,000 seat stadium to me sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. I don't know why they would ever consider that. Well, I know why they would consider it, but to me it does not sound like a good idea. The Mike Tyson thing is crazy, but let's be honest, you know, fighters wanting to come back later in life, you know, Bernard Hopkins fought at age 50, so it's not the craziest thing in the world, but when you consider how Mike looked maybe 5 years ago, how out of shape he was, the state of his life and his, you know, his career outside of boxing, it's pretty remarkable to see him. When I saw that clip last Friday of him hitting mitts for 6 seconds, I was mesmerized by it, by the speed, by the ferocity, by the power. It was amazing. It was like watching that same guy back in 1990. And then I come to find out that the guy holding the mitts, I was so focused on Mike, I didn't realize that the guy holding the mitts is one of the greatest MMA coaches of all time, this guy Rafael Cordeiro of Brazil, now living in Southern California, has trained the likes of Anderson Silva and Shogun Hua and Vanderlei Silva, Fabricio Verdum and Chris Cyborg. And here he is holding mitts for Mike Tyson. So that's why I had to find him yesterday and talk to him about all this. And I don't know if this really means that Mike is, you know, preparing for a comeback if he really wants to fight again. But I got to tell you, like, if you look at the pictures of him today and him last year, it's a gigantic difference, and I think he should be commended for that.
No question about it. Ariel Helwani with us here. And look, as crazy as it is, I'd watch, to your point. You know, Bernard Hopkins fighting at 50. George Foreman fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world at 42 years old. And people thought he was crazy. And it went to a decision. So, like, I would watch. Like, if somebody sanctioned the fight, if the state of Nevada or California or wherever would sanction the fight and they felt like physically he could make it through it, I would watch. There is no question. Take all my money.
Yeah, I would watch as well because it's Mike Tyson, because of the 53-year-old factor as well. Do I want to see it, or maybe I should say, do I need to see it? Probably not. I do think there is something to be said for the fact that the guy's just seemingly turning around his life in front of our eyes, not only from a training perspective, but as a businessman. He's got this Tyson Ranch. He appears to be doing great with that. He's got this very, very popular podcast. You know, the chapters of Mike Tyson's life are fascinating to me because you have the early Mike Tyson, who's just this sort of piece of clay that Customato is able to mold into this unbelievable fighter. And then he becomes the champion. That's kind of chapter one and two. Then he has, you know, the rape conviction and everything starts to go down the drain. That's chapter three. Chapter four, he tries to come back and doesn't do a good job with that. And his life kind of spirals out of control. He has several controversies, he gets out of shape, and it just looks like he is turning into the stereotype for that fighter who had it all and lost it all. And now here we are. Maybe it started with the hangover, but all of a sudden he's become somewhat of a darling, a sympathetic figure, and everyone loves him. He's like everyone's favorite uncle. It's bizarre. And this is kind of perfect for all that. Now he's in great shape. In fact, I just saw on the ESPN Instagram, they did this side-by-side of him, of a picture taken very recently, maybe a couple of days ago, and then one of him at a Jaguars game in September of 2019. You could see the gut. You could see how out of shape he is. You look at him today, the guy's ripped. So I don't know, man. The whole thing is crazy. And when I asked Rafael about it yesterday, he's like, yeah, I don't want to speak for Mike, but he's really like training seriously these days. I don't know what to believe at this point.
What would you say stood out the most as far as, I guess, those training sessions, right? When you spoke to him about what it was like to be in there with him, like how long were they training for? You know, the amount of time, how many days a week? Just maybe some of the physical feats that he's been able to accomplish in these training sessions. What were some of those things like?
Yeah, so he told me they've been doing this for 3 weeks. They're going multiple times a week. He does 1 hour mitt session with him, and that's a lot. Like, I don't know if you've ever hit mitts before, but you know, sometimes you can do three-minute rounds and you'll be exhausted. To go 1 hour is pretty incredible. And prior to that, he does cardio work. He also told me that he's doing strength and conditioning as well. And so all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second. Like, this isn't just some guy getting into shape, right? It seems a little more advanced than that. And he told me that that video that was released was on their first day. And so he says it gets a lot better. Like, you can imagine how much better he is 3 weeks later. He also told me that according to Mike, Mike told him that he had not hit mitts for 10 years. And that's how he looked on his first day. Wow. So I can't wait. I tried to get him to show me the footage of him 3 weeks later. He said they're going to come out with it soon. But could you imagine if that's how he looked on day one after not hitting mitts for 10 years? I can't imagine how he looks 3 weeks later and doing this multiple times a week. So I'm fascinated by that, and I don't know if he could pull this off, if he could come back, even if it's an exhibition match, even if it's, you know, three-minute rounds, you know, wearing headgear, I don't know. Just him stepping back into the ring, I was going to say cage, ring, would be a spectacle. And I was trying to think yesterday, like, how many pay-per-view buys could they actually sell for this? Like, could this do 500,000 in this day and age? I kind of feel like it could, if not more, because of just who he is and how people are so nostalgic these days, you know, with the Jordan doc doing so well. I kind of feel like the world would watch.
Well, and especially in the world we're in right now, where we're starved for any content, let alone sports content, I think that if it was done in this particular era, I mean, I don't think a million buys is crazy, to be honest with you. Just out of curiosity, I think you'll get that. And, you know, people don't understand. You understand this because you understand the fight game. Like, there are plenty of people that don't understand, younger people, what a phenomenon he really was. And I don't think we've seen anything like that since in the heavyweight division as far as everything that came with him, the hype behind all the fights. Like, he was as big a superstar as there was in the world at that time. Like, that was still when being the heavyweight champion of the world was as recognizable as he could be as recognizable as any athlete in the world. And I think that because of that, the nostalgia, as you pointed out, would bring people to the table.
I couldn't agree more. Forget about the heavyweight division. I don't think we've seen anyone in boxing who reached the height that he did in terms of popularity. Remember, you know, not only were his fights a big deal, the pay-per-views were a big deal, tickets were a big deal, all that stuff, but he was a big deal to kids. I mean, in 1990, I was 8 years old, and I remember playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out with my brothers for hours. You know, no one was able to cross over like that since then. Even Floyd, who was obviously a big deal and very successful, you know, he wasn't a star to kids. There's no one playing Floyd Mayweather video game. And I know the times have changed a little bit and whatnot, but Mike Tyson was, you know, I would put him on par, maybe not more so, and maybe not quite at his level, but he was in the Michael Jordan conversation in his prime in the 90s, 91, 90, you know, yeah. 90, 92. You know, things got a little bit funky there with the Buster Douglas fight. But prior to that, I mean, it was a big freaking deal when he was fighting. And he was a worldwide, you know, icon. And so people, like you said, are very nostalgic these days and are starved for it. I still don't know, like, you tell me he's going to do something in August. Maybe 3 months is enough. But, like, I certainly wouldn't expect a Mike Tyson exhibition or anything like that in June. It seems right. Like he would need a little more time. And some fans were getting mad at me yesterday, like, stop trying to push this narrative. I'm not pushing this. I'm not the one who put out the video. I'm right. Not the one, you know, his coach is saying this stuff. I'm just asking these questions, and it sounds to me like there's something brewing here.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that based on the story I read that you had yesterday on ESPN.com and the ESPN app and the video, like, there does seem to be something brewing. And I'm all about it. Keep brewing is what I would say, Iron Mike. Real quick, speaking of brewing, UFC 249 this weekend in Jacksonville. Tell me about this Ferguson fight with Gaeth. Tell me about – does he have a shot to beat Tony?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I mean, Justin Gaethje is one of the most exciting fighters in the UFC, but he's not just like, you know, a punching bag. The guy is legit. He was in talks to fight Connor on July 11th, but of course everything changed. The knock on him was that he was taking too much damage early in his UFC career. But lately, especially in his last three fights, he's really taken a very relaxed and almost measured approach to his fights, and that has resulted in a much better fighter where he's winning all his fights in the first round. He's not taking any damage, and he's knocking his opponents out. And so now he's gotten a full training camp as opposed to when he was going to step in on short notice on April 18th, and that event got canceled. And so, yeah, this one is up for grabs. And it's great because if you would ask me, like, who are the two guys crazy enough to headline a card in the midst of this pandemic who would just throw caution to the wind and who would no doubt deliver? Like, there is no way that this fight does not deliver, that it is a boring fight. And I know in the fight game we hear this all the time. There's no way this fight, you know, goes the distance. There's no way this fight ends in a knockout. I feel very confident in saying to you, in fact, I would say to you, you should ban me from ever appearing on your show if this fight is not entertaining. It's these two guys. These are the guys to pick. They are perfect for this. So it's a great fight with big implications as well, potential title implications. The winner could very well be next for Khabib or Connor. Yeah, if you're looking for something to do on Saturday, this is it. It's a phenomenal main event.
Ariel Helwani joining us here. Is there a potential fight out there for Connor as far as a timeline is concerned? I mean, you mentioned that either guy could be that, but what are we looking at as far as his return into the octagon?
So he was slated to fight on July 11th in Las Vegas, and what a great 7 days that would have been in Las Vegas. In fact, a little bit before that, you'd have had Summer League, which is where we got to work for the first time together with the great Vince Carter. That would have been then. Then you would have had UFC July 11th, and then you would have had July 18th, Wilder Fury 3. I mean, could you imagine how great that of a time that would have been in Vegas? It's a real shame that it's not going to happen. But right now, you know, I spoke to his team recently, and it's still very much up in the air when he'll be able to fight again. And that's also a shame because he was really determined to fight three times this year, because we don't know if he'll be able to travel to the United States. We don't know if the UFC will be able to hold events internationally. So everything's kind of on hold right now for him. If you notice, if you look at the cards that they're doing this Saturday, May 9th, May 13th, and 16th, it's all either American fighters or American-based fighters, meaning fighters who currently train in America. The fighters from overseas can't come here to fight right now. So unfortunately, right now for Conor, there is no real timetable as to when he'll be able to fight again.
And lastly, I'm reading about a potential Daniel Cormier return to the ring. What's that about?
So Cormier and Miocic were supposed to fight for the third time, the heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic. They've had two great fights. They were supposed to fight for a third time in what would have been Daniel's retirement fight on August 1st, most likely at the Chase Center in San Francisco. But, of course, that's not happening now. And so DC is trying to get him to fight because he wants to kind of move on with his life and have his retirement fight. But Stipe is saying that, you know, he's just not ready. He's coming off of eye surgery. He also works as a part-time firefighter in Ohio, and he's looking at the fall. So something's got to give, and there's a really important fight happening this Saturday in the heavyweight division between Francis Ngannou and Jairzinho Rozenstruik. If they can't come to terms with Stipe, I wouldn't be surprised if they do an interim title fight or if they threaten to strip Stipe and do DC versus the winner of that heavyweight fight this Saturday. So ultimately, I think the fight happens, but I know that that fall timeline does not mesh with DC's timeline. He's very upset about that. So we'll see, you know, who wins out on this one.
Ari Helwani is the best in the business at covering MMA, joining us here, friend of the program. Thank you, brother. Appreciate the time. Stay safe. We'll talk soon.
You're the man. Thank you, George. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya. There he is, Ari Helwani, joining us here. All right, coming up next. Uh-oh. Could Kevin Durant be joining the party if the NBA resumes? We'll tell you what they're talking about. What his team is talking about next. Feliz Cinco de Mayo! Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any one of our interviews today, and all three of them were awesome. Were awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Mina Kimes, Boog Shambi, Ariel Helwani. Make sure you check them out on the Interview on Demand section of the Sedano Show podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimum. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. And of course, you can subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. And we appreciate your support of the podcast always. And tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. Series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN television. And listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. So, Kevin Durant, real quick. And before we go, we've got like 5 minutes here. If you want to do what we've been doing all show, which is shout out your local Mexican restaurant that is going to serve takeout for you today in your neighborhood for Cinco de Mayo, please feel free to do that, 877-710-ESPN. I want to sneak through a couple of calls here as quickly as possible so we can make sure we shout out those local businesses and get them some love and hopefully some more business. But real quick on Kevin Durant. So in the New York Post today, our colleague Jay Williams doesn't think it's the smartest idea, but his buddy Kevin Durant has defied the odds before when talking about Kevin Durant potentially returning to play in an NBA playoffs or an NBA season if they were to resume in July. Nets GM Sean Marks. Now, Bergman, you've been all over this. You think that this is a realistic possibility, but here's what Nets GM Sean Marks said. He left the door open. He says, quote, "That's the $110 million question. I just don't know how coming out of this pandemic will affect anybody, let alone Kevin." Jay Williams, our ESPN NBA analyst, who also hosts the Boardroom with Kevin Durant on ESPN Plus, feels it's too risky going from 1 year off to playing in that cauldron. He says, "I think everybody's antsy," William told the New York Post, "as it relates to Kevin. It depends on the timetable and those games and how condensed it is. It's one thing to come back and start the beginning of next season where there's time and space between games and you can keep your body ramped up the right way. But someone coming off an injury like that and going right into a playoff scenario, I don't think it's feasible or fair on Kevin himself. But Kevin is his own man. He'll do what he wants to do." So they're not ruling it out. And we'll ask Ramona tomorrow because she's going to join us. Mama Momo will be in the house for the entire show riding shotgun tomorrow. But Bergman, like, would you risk it? Because I sure as hell wouldn't risk Kevin Durant coming back.
I think if you're the Nets, you don't risk it. But, I mean, Kevin's going to basically do what he wants at this point, right? I personally don't think that he should be allowed to be able to play. If you were not supposed to play in the regular season, you should not be able to play when the playoffs begin. We're already past that point of being on a playoff roster. So I don't think that is. But for him himself, I mean, you have days off in between games. You're not playing back-to-back games for the playoffs.
They might be more condensed than they usually are, Greg, because of the circumstances.
Sure, but you're also talking about shorter series. Like, we're probably talking about a 5-game series in the first and second rounds, maybe going to 7-game series in the conference finals and finals. So, I mean, there's still that time off. And if he's playing, all of a sudden, I think they're a 7 seed right now. All of a sudden, that puts them right in towards the top. Mm-hmm. They're a team to beat. I don't know. I think for him himself, I think he does it.
Man, I wouldn't take that chance. I mean, you got to think, first of all, if you're them, you got to protect your long-term investment. You know what I mean? Like, you can't sit there. And he also needs to understand his own long-term viability.
Right. But, I mean, look how close we are. When the games actually start, we're going to be right near the regular season would have started anyway, or close to it, starting to get yourself ramped up. So, I mean, I don't think he's that far off in that sense. But protecting your investment makes sense for the Nets team itself. It's what Kevin wants to do.
Yeah, I know, but he's got to protect himself from himself. You know what I mean? Like, he's coming off an Achilles tear. This isn't some sort of just, like, ankle issue, right, where he had ankle surgery or something. This is way more serious, I think. And people are already wondering, can he come back from this thing? Because we've only seen one perimeter player come back from it successfully, and it was a long time ago. It was Dominique Wilkins. Now, look, I know modern medicine has changed. Right. And I know that regimens have changed and diets have changed and the way people take care of their bodies have changed. And Kevin Durant is also as explosive as he is. His game isn't the same as Dominique Wilkins, which was predicated on power and explosiveness and getting to the rim and dunking and all that stuff. Like, Kevin can still just shoot the bleep out of the ball over anybody. You know what I mean? So I think there's that. But he still needs some semblance of his athleticism.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, being here in L.A., we saw what happened when the guy had an Achilles tear and how he came right back in Kobe Bryant. So, I mean, different ages, of course, but still kind of the same deal. He's lost a lot of that explosion. We also saw DeMarcus Cousins come back from Achilles, and he has not had anywhere near the explosion. So, but he's also a bigger guy. I just think Kevin – I agree with you. I just think that if he has the chance to play in that series and take them to far into the playoffs – I think he's going to end up taking it.
All right, real quick, going to shout out some places here real quick. I got two places in Harbor City. Two of my favorite taco spots for Cinco de Mayo today are in Harbor City. One of them is Tacos Super Gallito in Harbor City. That's right off PCH, 843 PCH, Harbor City. And then the other one is also in Harbor City, Tacos El Goloso, which is right on Anaheim. And PCH in kind of that weird area, triangle area there. Real quick, Bergman, shout out your spot.
I'm going to go to Anejo Cantina and Grill in Sherman Oaks.
Laura, shout out your spot. Mama.
My mama's house.
All right, we're done here. Thanks to Mina Kimes. Thanks to Ariel Hawani, Boog Shambi. Ramona's in tomorrow. Thanks to Greg and Laura. Thanks to you guys for tuning in. We love you. Stay safe.